It's Belly.
And it's Ashcole here.
And welcome back to another episode of BDSP. Woo!
Thank you guys so much for still tuning in. We actually have more guests for you.
Wow, we're lit.
Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Let's do this. Jay, you go first.
Hey, what's up, man? My name is Jaquo Michael. I am from New York City, and I am a co-host of the Keeping It 9000 Anime Podcast, also the founder of Landline Studios Production Company. Yeah, you know the vibes.
Wow. Period.
That deserves a little
ooh, little some sound effects?
Shit. You got a little telephone ringing there, too?
I didn't program on that one.
All right, what's good, y'all? It's Kevin Damois, also co-host of the Keeping It 9000 podcast. And, you know, we out here. We on the streets. I'm not like Jaquo, who's a company owner, but, you know, soon come. We'll make things happen.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you do enough.
That deserves one, too. Sorry, guys.
I just want to say thank you so much, guys, for coming on.
Of course,
thank you so much for bringing drinks. You know, listen,
we got you.
I just want to shout out that we have the best guests because how many of you guys can say your guest brings you drinks?
Period.
Come on. So I'll wait.
We can't.
Our guest didn't bring us nothing.
Us being guests last week.
No, literally.
Y'all shady. Oh my gosh, I'm excited. Ash, you want to start it?
Okay, so we really, really appreciate you guys coming here. We actually never had podcasters on the show. So I think we kind of went through a little bit of it last week, like how you guys structure your show, how everything is so like meticulous with you guys. And I love it. I love to see that. Can you guys walk us through the process of how the show got started, what you guys kind of just thought about when that happened?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll jump it off. Yeah. So basically the show got started because I was doing, during COVID, I was like, yo, I got nothing going on. I was furloughed. I was just trying to find different things to do. So I was doing just like dumb shit. Can I curse on this or no?
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely.
So I was just doing like random dumb shit. I was like trying to learn how to,
to wait 20 minutes.
I was trying to learn how to handstand. I was jump roping every other day. I was reading like books I didn't care about. But then I was like, yo, I really wanted to do this podcast thing. So let me like figure it out. And so throughout that period, I created this podcast called Remotely Social. Check that out. It's not airing yet anymore, but there's still a bunch of episodes out on all streaming platforms, Remotely Social, which was just me talking with friends about different topics. So one of the topics that I ran through was like college and like your experience during that. The other was like was the experience of being like a child of immigrants or being an immigrant yourself. So we kind of just like ran through an hour or so talking about these specific topics. And I had Jaquo on one of these episodes. And at the end of it, we were like, yo, the vibe was great. We should like make our own thing happen.
Oh my God.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And that was like, what, the summer of 2020? And our own thing didn't happen until like, like legitimately, what was it? Like winter 2021, 22 maybe?
I forgot. It was 2020. I think we started playing around with it in that summer of 2020.
Was it 2019?
So we started playing around with the idea. I think we recorded our first test episode in summer 2020.
Yeah, yeah. We recorded at my first apartment and that episode was basura.
Yeah, like, it was absolutely garbage. The audio was bad. The video was bad.
We had no plan. We were just like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about anime. Keeping It 9000 an anime podcast. Basically, what we do is talk about anime from a New York point of view.
You know the vibes.
You know the vibes. Shonen with my bronin. Otaku with my brotaku. But on that first episode recording, Jaquo said he lost the video. I don't think he lost the video. I think this man was so embarrassed that he was like, you know, the world can never see this. Delete.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate you for that because the world should not have seen that.
No.
But then throughout that, like, we did it and we enjoyed it. But then we took a little break from it. And later on, I moved into my new apartment. And then we started to get, like, much more of a flow going. We started to get much more, like, podcast material. We got a camera. We got an audio interface. We got different mics.
Yeah.
And then we just kept the thing moving. And then over time, we just saw the like holes that were in the podcast and just started making edits. So we were like, we need a format. So like, let's every week run through everything on Google Docs and create like a actual template and talk through it. And then we're like, the mics that we have are trash. So let's buy some new mics. Yeah. The audio interface that we have, it works, but it's like, it's not the best thing on the planet. And I see y'all got that Rodecaster. Shout out. Yeah. We got ourselves a Rodecaster. Yeah. We made it happen. And just over time, like for us, I'm sure you'd agree, Jaquel, but it's just like, you try things and then you see what works. And then when you see what's not working, you're like, all right, cool. Let's edit. And let's figure out how exactly. to make that thing jump to the next, take it to the next level.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I think that it was just a lot of like trial and error, a lot of just testing different things. Like, I think our first format might have been 2 hours long.
Son.
And like, wow. like honestly,
what were you talking about?
I don't remember what we were talking about.
Nothing important.
nothing important. Like, I think low key we would have like discussions on like one topic for like an hour for most of the podcast.
Oh, you didn't really know how to really transition.
We weren't great at transitioning back then.
Yeah. Oh no, not at all. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, Kev, what are we doing right now on air? What's next?
No, but you know what? I get that because I think for Ash and I, when we first started, because a lot of our podcast is just a conversation of us speaking to each other, we would get lost in our conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, it wasn't 2 hours. I think we didn't get that lost. Not ever get that lost. But there's times where we're like, wow, this was longer mm-hmm. than we anticipated.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're just having fun talking to each other. Of so course. I definitely 100%. Get that.
Yeah.
Which leads into my next question, which is perfect gateway, guys.
It is.
What has, you know, having your own podcast taught you about yourself?
Oh, it taught me that... I need to listen more.
Wow.
when other guests are speaking, I remember one of our first early guests, like, you know, you're just so excited to mm-hmm. be in the room yeah. and talk that, like, you don't realize that, like, as a podcast host, it's not your main thing. Of course, like, you have to maintain your podcast and say what you need to say, but you really have to give your guests the platform and build that platform for your guests to be able to speak their piece.
Right.
And then, of course, like, they already know the flavor of Keeping It 9000.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So that was my problem in the beginning, was like, bro, like, you just got to shut up and listen. And then if you do want to speak, like, say some shit that actually reflects upon what the guest said. Like, actively mm-hmm. listen and give, like, active feedback,
right,
like, to the conversation. So that was my biggest gripe for myself.
Okay.
How about you, bro?
Yeah, a bit of that, too, where it's just, like, sometimes you don't want to steamroll the person that is around you just because, like, the conversation doesn't go well. And then eventually you can even also like read off of their vibe. So there were times where I could tell, kind of jumping off of what you were saying, Jaquel, that when I would say something jumping onto what our guest would be saying, it would almost be like, they'd be like, all right, this is your podcast, you talk.
Yeah.
and that would be the worst feeling because I'm like, fuck, like I want them to be empowered during this episode.
Yeah.
I want them to be a part of this. But also on top of that, figuring out how to guide the specific conversation. Because sometimes you have a guest that's on the podcast and they're talking a little too much. And you got to, like, you know, guide the conversation into a different direction because you don't always want a two-hour podcast, you know?
Yeah.
And so to figure out how to switch off to the next topic, I think that was definitely a skill that both of us had to work on and that we definitely got better at. Just because, like, you know, you can't talk about the same thing for 30 minutes if you have 5 to 10 more things to talk about, you know?
Right. What about you, Ash?
Oh, what I've learned?
Yeah. What has this taught you about yourself?
Honestly, it taught me that I am not very vulnerable when it comes to what I discuss.
Ooh.
Yeah, like, I think this podcast is kind of like a diary for me. Like, I get to say what I want to say. I get to be who I want to be. There's no scrutinizing eyes, you know, except for the people
us.
On YouTube.
We scrutinize each other.
Yeah, that's but, wonderful. Like, that's, you know, at least it's us talking and having an open and honest conversation. Like, I realize I'm not as vulnerable in a normal setting as opposed to
that
here.
That is true.
So I think that that really helped it.
And do you think this helps you become more vulnerable when you're in a normal setting? Or do you think that this is just like your opportunity to be vulnerable?
Podcast brain, podcast
time. Literally, like, fuck everybody. I'm
going to
come and say my shit here.
You know the vibe, man. Big BSP podcast. You know the vibe. Stop playing.
Right. You want to know how she feels? Just listen to the podcast.
Yeah, you know, Ashley's Holes is just like, yo, I just want to know what we are. You're like, come to BDSP and find out.
Book my studio time, too. What's your credit card number?
My love language is podcast. I like that this one. I would say for me, being a part of a podcast has really taught me. I don't know.
Really?
That's fine, too.
I generally don't know. Honestly, you know what it is? I feel like since doing this, there's just been so many changes. You know what it is? I'll double down and say the vulnerability.
Yeah.
Just because I'm so used to giving the standard responses. Like, you know, just now I was like, you know, I don't know. Typically, that's how I'd respond outside of this room.
Yeah.
But in this room, it's like, okay, well, it's just us. So would you like to elaborate on how you don't know? Else the episode is done.
Yeah.
You know, so it's either you talk or we're done. If you're not talking on a podcast, what are you doing?
That's super important. Yeah. It's like you have to make it interesting the whole time through.
Yeah. You have to put you into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, the biggest thing is trying to figure out what me I want to put out, you know, because I don't always want everyone to know everything about me. Like even certain people I'll send a podcast to and other people will be like, you don't need to know that I have a podcast. But that's not okay. That's part of the vulnerability and, you know, me kind of having to be mindful of how much I want to share. So you see how you guys really have, you guys have a set theme around anime. For us, we just talk about so much in regards to life and our personal journeys that sometimes it can be like, wow, do I want to let people in on this part of my life and this journey? And sometimes I don't, because y'all gotta mind your business, but you know, y'all still come here every week, so I gotta be mindful that people generally do care, not because they want to be nosy, but it's like, you know, clearly I got something to say.
You got an interest in life, let them know,
right. So I think to agree with Ash, being on the podcast has definitely helped me become more vulnerable and choosing my words wisely, because I don't want to be canceled before I really go too far.
See, I'm the opposite. Cancel us. Canceled people, they make it back so hard. Like, their comeback is so hard.
I just don't want to be a meme, you know, like 10 years from now, still babe. Like I'm trying to do some of my life and they look at me like, oh, aren't you the just stop.
Yeah, nah, I'm
just
that.
Stop.
I'm that. I love the infamy. Like, I want that. Actually. If we end up on the shade room for some dumb shit.
Oh my God. I mean, that'll be great. That'll
be
great.
I'm going to give them something. I'm going to literally give them
You give them
picture.
Something and I'll just smile in the thing.
I'm not going to lie. I think the energy is literally that on this side and that side for sure.
The way I look at it though, like, if I say something crazy and people be like, yo, Kev, you just said something crazy, I'll just go, yeah, I didn't mean it. I wasn't serious. It's like, yeah, I say things I don't mean all the time because I was joking. If you took that seriously, then we could like have a conversation about it. But if you're going to try to cancel me off of some shit that I don't believe in, then like that's on you.
Of course. I feel that. I think that I remember like in some of our episodes, I'd be like, yo, bro, what the fuck? Why are you saying that? You know what I'm saying, right?
But then it's like, fun, son. Why not?
As I started to go along with it, I was like, you know what? Not everybody even gonna listen to this. The 1%, the 0.1% of niggas who catch that, they can be butthurt. That's fine. Fuck it.
Yeah, and like also, I'm not afraid to talk about it. It's like people gonna be like, yo, on episode 74, you said that, you said this about this group of people, and I was like, I'd be like, oh yeah, I don't believe that.
And you know what's funny though? That's usually the viral clip.
Yeah.
The shit where you're bullshitting, you probably either don't really mean. Like, it was, I put out hard work for years giving you guys information on the topic, a theme, all of this shit. For 5 seconds, I spew quick bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's what everybody is riled up about.
Yeah.
That's the hit video. That's, it's typically like
social media. Social media is literally driven off of, you know, infamy. Yeah. Is driven off of giving people more than they need.
100%.
Like, it's like the people who are, like, genuine and, like, the people who are just, like, kind. I mean, yes, they make it on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, look at the famous people in the world. The world loves a villain. Yeah. Osama bin Laden. I mean, not.
What?
I'm just saying he was top five in the news poll.
Top five in the block that are alive.
Oh man, you know, Bush made that happen.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, you know, like all the people who do take kind of like the villainous stance, or like maybe like, you know, how people say sell your soul to the devil.
Yeah,
it's true. Like, yeah, we're not actually selling our souls to the devil, but the more you lean into like the non-traditional route is where you start to get more feedback traditionally from what we're seeing in media and social media as it evolves.
Yeah, people are doing things for a reaction, no matter the reaction, whether it's positive or negative. So, and I think when it comes to like podcasts, a lot of the ones I've been listening to a lot, I realize they have been saying more outlandish things for that reaction.
It works.
The clickbait.
Yeah.
It works. People want something to argue against. And there's times where we're talking on the podcast and there's a clip that I'll just be like, yo, somebody's going to be upset about this. We're clipping that.
That's a fact.
You know
what
I mean? It's like, we know people are going to argue in the comments about it and that'll give us more attention.
Yep.
And
great marketing.
There's a, I mean, and there's a couple of them podcasts that's like extremely like, you know, misogynistic or you know, just has a lot of those
like the red pill ones. Yeah,
right,
the
right.
Kevin Samuels of the world.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to give them no free promotion, but there's a few of them, a couple of them out there, the bald headed men with the microphone that's here like this, like my problem with women lies.
Lies where
them.
Eve ate the apple. They started off on the wrong foot.
Right. Honestly, I don't even think half of them really believe as much as they spew.
They just know it's going to get attention.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of course.
And it's like, to be honest, if you don't know me personally and you have a problem with what I have to say, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's why I really love about different shows that actually decide to just say whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
Because you can't control the narrative. You can't control how another person perceives you. And social media really made us think like, oh, okay. What we're gonna do is we're gonna make you say sorry. I'm not apologizing for something I said. Oh. That's I really fucking said that. I meant that.
But if you like, I think people should apologize if they feel actual sorry. You know?
Okay. Yes.
Like if you say something and you're like, "My bad, I was actually being ignorant and I was being an idiot," then like, yeah, you should apologize. You feel bad.
But some people are just bullied into saying sorry. They don't believe that shit.
I agree. I think there's a divide because there's some people who are like bullied to apologize and they just go, I'm sorry. But then on the other side, there's people who are like, I ain't apologizing for anything ever. If I said it, I meant it. And they're like, dude, did you actually read this book? Nah, I didn't read the book. And it's like, all right, then you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean?
I feel
so I think like if you actually feel sorry, apologize. But then if you're in a situation where you actually stand by and believe what you say, be willing to have the conversation and don't just be like, all right, nah, it's over. I'm not apologizing, but I'm just going to be like this way. Because it's like, I don't know. I think there should be much more like discourse than there is because people don't talk anymore. People just hear shit that doesn't relate to what they believe in and then go, you're wrong because we're on the other side.
Right. And we don't question, did you really mean that? Because I know for myself, I put my foot in my mouth a lot when I'm speaking in regards to all topics and all facets. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it on purpose. I just often have to find myself like going back on what I said and being like, oh no, okay, I didn't mean it like that. I meant it in X, Y, and Z.
Word.
Which is why I don't like, you know, the price of fame to that point where it's just like, dang, like if I do go back and be like, dang, I didn't really mean that. Now it's like, oh, you're only doing that because da 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 da. Like, shut up, shut up.
What, niggas don't believe in growth, like,
they don't. They like, don't. People like to hold celebrities and people of, you know, stature at this ridiculous level. Meanwhile, you have people in your own backyard that's doing worse, but you want to forgive them. Yep. If you could forgive that low down dirty man, I'm sure you could
why
forgive
gotta be a man?
Celebrity.
Why gotta be a man?
You know, if you couldn't forgive that low down dirty Hugh man,
person. Man, capital M-A-N.
Oh, man.
You could forgive a celebrity that you will never see and never really have any proper like engagement with.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah, they're never gonna meet these people, but they're hating from the sidelines, like,
and hating with like passion.
Yeah,
like you have all that time of your day to really sit and hate people. Like, I'm not spending 20 minutes typing on my phone arguing with somebody in the comments about why X, Y, Z.
I be doing that.
Look at your face,
Kevin. I got time today.
But no, like if you're doing it on a regular, if you're just a regular troll,
right.
Honestly. Come be my personal assistant because you ain't got nothing to do with your life.
Literally.
I got something for you to do.
Nah, I had to tell somebody that in the comments once because somebody was like, it was weeks ago where they just hopped on the comments and they were like, oh, y'all almost dirty. You watching anime?
I remember
losers.
This.
Oh.
And then I was like, but you on our page talking shit. So if we're losers for that, what does it make you to be on somebody's page talking shit about them doing something they enjoy? Find something that you enjoy and then like, you know, put your time in that because it's better used. And they just kept going back and forth. And then I just went, you know what? You know, you're running up our algorithm. So just keep talking
exactly.
in the comments.
I'm just like, bro, how'd you find it? Clearly you got an anime algorithm.
Right.
If you watching our content, bro, that's the only way you can catch our content.
Watching our content and having full on conversations with people. Cause I was not the only one he was arguing with.
Oh yeah. People started chiming in. Well, that's the beauty of like building your community.
Yeah, man.
Some of these people also got time.
If I saw that, I would have time.
It's weird. We got this one homie. I don't know if he likes us or hates us. Cause you know what I'm talking about? Like he's like from like Poland or something.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'd be typing in weird English, but like sometimes he'd be for our opinion,
but then he'd be
against us. But when he's for us and people talk shit, he really defends. He's like, yo, you don't know what you
that's
on,
a
bro.
Fan. Yeah. That's a fan, right?
Yeah,
there.
Which I respect too. Like, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but the things that we say, we're not like we saying this and this is fact. And if you disagree with it, block. It's like, not.
It's all opinion.
Right. It's opinion. Let's have the conversation. And I think people on the internet aren't willing to do that. If they're trying to have the conversation, they're just trying to like say their point and then bounce. Right. But it's like, not. Discourse, back and forth. Like, that's how we, the only way to get rid of opinions that are shitty or suck or are dangerous is by combating them with better opinions. Yeah. So, like, let's just have the conversation, you know?
Right. I completely agree. That's beautiful. And even with that, I just feel like it's either you agree or you just, you don't. And it's just like, I don't, that's so boring. And I think you've mentioned that before, Ash. Like, if everybody in the world had the same opinion, life would have no meaning to it.
We would all be gray blobs like Timmy Turner. Like, remember that? Yeah. Like, we would all look the same. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
People got to be different.
That's why, honestly, sometimes I like to be a little messy for that that opinion. Like, I like to be the one person that goes against the grain. Like, I, from childhood, like, let's say all my friends agree to go left.
Yeah,
I would be like, I'm feeling kind of rightish today.
100%.
And then, like, I would have no one to talk to because, like, I've done this so many times. Like, they all decided they want to sit at this table. And I'm just so stubborn. I'm like, no, I want to sit at that table.
Yeah.
And so I would sit there. I would have nobody to talk to. And they're just like, just come over here. And I'm like, no, I really don't want to be there.
Yeah.
But it's just because I wanted to go against the grain. I wanted to be a little difficult.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to. I don't always like agreeing with everybody. So for fun, I just throw a little wrench in it. And I have to stand by my feelings, and even if I talk to nobody at lunch.
I think that's appropriate. Yeah, because, like, you know what the thing is, right? Like, when you get back on that other table and you're sitting there internally hating everything about it, but you're there because you want to be on that side, it feels worse. So you might as well just do your own thing.
Yeah. Right.
Like, be you.
And I was very big on be a leader, not a follower. And don't get me wrong, I will follow some of my friends off a bridge. You know, what are we doing, guys? Yeah. You know, like, and were we talking about that the other day? Like, if your friend asks you, if your parent asks you, you know, yeah. First of all, I probably jumped first. Yeah. Second of all, you know, if they jump in, then, you know, it's lit. Gang, we doing it together.
Like, how high is the bridge? Is it a 2-foot bridge? We good.
I definitely drove them to the bridge. I was like, yo, we here now, so. Exactly.
We stopped. We got the snacks. Like, this was a planned jump. So, yeah, I'm definitely jumping.
That's a fact. I might be the last person to jump. Like, oh, damn, that's the experience. Okay, I mean, we already here.
Yeah, is there water under the bridge? I can't swim. So, I'll be on the bridge and be like, yo, enjoy.
I have a question for everybody. It just came to mind. Would you describe yourself as a pencil or a pen? And why?
Pencil or pen?
And while you guys are thinking, I'll answer just to kind of give you guys an example as to why.
Please do. Thank you.
I chose a pencil because I'm extremely indecisive, and I would like the freedom to undo a lot of the things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I often second guess my decisions. So as much as I'd like to say I'm a pen and I'm firm and stand strong with whatever I do and whatever I say, no, I'm very much a backtracker. I'm very much a, like, rethinker. Like, oh my God, is this the right? Is this the wrong? So naturally, I would say I'm a pencil. Would I like to be a pen? Yes, I'd preferably want to walk in the way of a pen. Erasable pen does not count, so do not throw that in there.
Erasable pen? 2005?
You caught me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
So I think I'm a pen with a whiteout next to it.
Okay. Oh, my God. Here's the loophole.
I be so firm in what I'm thinking about and what I'm saying, what I'm presenting.
Okay.
But when I backtrack, it's like, forget about that.
That's just not, get a new sheet.
Yeah, just forget about that. Just forget about that. I'm not that no more. I'm not with that no more. My decisions were jaded.
Okay.
I'm a new person now.
I like that. Okay. What about you?
I think that maybe growing up, I was definitely a pencil. But then, I don't know, something just, like, changed. And I was like, you know what, why not? Why not be a pen? Like, you know, but I'm a pen who, I be scribble scrapping all over everything I did. But it's still there. You can still see it. But it is what it is now. We're going to move on and we're going to turn the page.
Mistakes. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's shame with my mistakes. So that's why. I think that's why I have the pencil to just, y'all didn't see that.
Yeah. I mean, like, shame is a thing. But I feel like I've always been the type of person where, like, I'd rather have the shame because why not? Let me feel how it feels.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people who used to be scared to, like, maybe do, like, public speaking or things like that. I was always on the fence, like, why is the collective scared of public speaking? Just do it and see what happens. If you suck at it, at least I suck at public speaking. Yeah. You get better. Right. You feel me?
Not everybody thinks like that, though. That's a beautiful way to
think. And sometimes they have a little trauma in that public speaking.
Oh, yeah, it'd be traumatic.
Right.
But that's the shit that pushes you. It's like the enemy characters. You know, you got that one little bit of trauma, and that's all they think about in every fight.
That's their power up.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Pencil or pen? That's an interesting thing to think about. Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it depends on the day of the week, like, and the topic. Mm. Like, some days I'm like, all right, this is what I believe in, and like, I'm standing by, and it ain't changing. But then other days, I'll be like, nah, I was wilding. Like, it didn't have to be, it didn't have to be like that. So, that's tough. I feel like, especially nowadays with just, I've been doing like a lot of self-reflection and thinking about a lot of things differently where, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I may have been a pen in the past, but now I'm more of a pencil.
Ooh, where, come to this side. Yeah. I was nervous. I thought you were about to say pen. I was about to say, damn, okay.
Ooh, yeah, just because, no, I feel you, because like there are things that you've done in the past and you just don't fully believe in anymore.
Right.
Of course. But. I could also always go back and be like, nah, I'm with this part. It's like, I just don't think that things need to be black and white, you know?
Of course.
Yeah.
And to go, for me, if I were to choose pen, then I feel like pen feels much more black and white than pencil does.
It is or it isn't.
Yeah.
Because you either got the pen or it's not there.
Yeah. Because I think things are more times than not both. It's gray.
Like the pencil.
So do you feel like, so you're like a mechanical pencil, like you look like a pen, but you know, you still
you know what? I would stand firm with you on that answer. I would say I'm definitely still a pencil, but I don't erase too much anymore.
Right? Oh, you know what
I just
would
like the capable, what am I?
Oh, color pencil.
No, you ever had one of those pencils and like during the test days they give them in class and you try to erase your answer?
The
but
one with the
don't erase.
You know, short ones?
The yeah. Fake eraser?
Oh yeah.
The rubber that doesn't really rub.
The Chinatown pencils.
The number one.
1.5.
Never elaborate more on the pencil. I just had that visual when you said that, and I was like, wow, that's crazy.
No, I just don't think I erase too much. I need the capabilities. I need it there. It's a safety net, essentially, and I guess that's what that eraser is for me. And I don't mind having that be that safety net, but I don't erase as much as I used to. Sometimes I will go back and do that little erasing, like, you know, but I think now I am more firm, but still very much so pencil-like. Still very much so.
I guess the way I'm interpreting it is like a pen, it kind of feels like a pen can't be wrong.
Mm.
But a pencil like is willing to like accept being wrong. And I don't know. I feel like the older I get, the more I'm just like, I'm wrong about some things, but that's okay. Like there's times where I get into arguments with people and like I don't even believe in what I'm saying. Like again, like as I mentioned earlier. There's
you
times like I get in arguments, but I'm like, I'm just gonna have the argument to have the argument, and then I can see that they're getting legitimately upset and I'd be like, oh, my bad. This was fun for me. I was just fucking around. I didn't know you were taking this seriously. And so I feel like that for me is like a pencil moment where I have to like pause things and be like, oh, let's erase this and like let's go back to normal because this wasn't an actual like thing for me, but it was for you. Yeah. So I'm sorry I made you feel like that. Yeah. You know?
True.
I would say, though, with the pen, that's why they do have the scribbles and the scratch out, but they're still very bold on their original thought.
I'm not trying to scar nobody anymore, though, you know?
Honestly, at the end of the day, pen or pencil, it sounds like you guys are scribblers.
Yeah.
So,
That's good. I'm going to stay on the white outside.
I like that. You can't do too much white out, though. After a while, it gets a little bulky.
And now the page looks crazy.
Accurate.
That's it.
You want to go?
I actually had an experience this week.
Ooh.
And it was about black men. And I really want to ask black men this.
Let's go. What's up?
So I was at the dealership.
They're like, we're black. We're black.
I hope so.
Where is this going?
We meet all criteria.
Man, on a census, I put something else.
Do you put the other?
No, oh. I put black. I put black and Native American.
Nice.
I'm just trying to get those benefits.
No, I put other and I put Caribbean. I let them know.
Nice.
I write that shit in Carib. Wrong, erase it. Caribbean. Yep.
Shout out to y'all. So I was at the dealership this week.
Ooh.
And it was very exciting. And the owner, he's a black man, multimillionaire, very, very cool guy. So he just recently purchased a car, and it was like a 1980s convertible something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was this weird, weird, like, beautiful car, but it was old. So he was like, if I drove that car, people would look at me and crowd me because it's so old, because it's, like, whatever. And it was a classic. Like, it looked like something that was straight out of Grand Theft Auto. Like, it was so fire.
Yeah.
But his counterpart, like, his business partner, she was a white, I think she was Hispanic, but she was a white-looking woman.
Mm.
And he was like, if you
drove around in that car. It would be like anything hunky-dory, chilling. Like, it would be fine for you because, you know, it's nothing. That's a classic car for a white woman. For a black man, you're a dusty bum because you know, you're driving a 1980s whatever. So do you guys feel like you guys have to experience a little bit more in America? Like, you have to stunt a little harder because of that?
Oh, like stunt harder because of that.
Yeah, like just go harder. Like, from everything that we do, from our, the clothes we wear, the stuff that we're into, like, you know, how we present to everyone else.
I feel like growing up, I felt a lot like that, like as a child. Because me and Jay, we've been friends since elementary school. We went to the same elementary school in the Bronx. We went to the same middle school in the Bronx. Growing up, it was like, yo, what sneakers are you wearing? K-Swiss? We're clowning you for that. Get this, cut his ass, bro.
We were just breaking each other down.
Exactly. And like you had to wear like specific types of clothes just to be able to feel like you had some status. But meanwhile, we're all in the Bronx. Half of us lived in projects. We all broke. But I think 50 Cent said it best. My sneakers are newer than yours, so I'm better than you. And it's like, we all had that mindset for a really long time growing up as a kid. And then as an adult, now I have less of that. Maybe to an extent, I still have more, some of it. Like, you're not going to catch me wearing K-Swiss. But, like, but like, I wear Vans, which are, like, really cheap sneakers.
Yeah.
All right.
No, no, I love Vans. I love Vans, but they're not expensive. They're not $200 sneakers. Yeah, like, you're absolutely not buying Vans for $200.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean
unless
to do
you
it.
Get the special collab. Yeah.
No, exactly. But the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't need to prove what I have. Especially like, I don't even want to say this because it seems like I'm like shading these people, but there's people who I've grown up with and I see like where they are now and like how they like, I guess, stunt on people. But it's like, you're stunting with something that you don't have.
Yeah.
And it's like, I may have less than you. I mean, I may have more than you, but if people looked at us on a Friday night and be like, oh, where you going? And we go in the same place. People may be like, oh, yo, Kevin's dressed less fly than this person. But that doesn't mean like I don't have as much as them. And even like, not to even think on that standpoint, I don't even like try to think in the direction of, yo, you need to show people that you have this. I just want to have a good time nowadays.
Yeah. I feel that. What about you?
Oh man, pressure on me. I was thinking about it for a minute. So the question is, like, as a black man in society, do you feel like you need to stunt harder and go harder because of the common narrative?
Oh, just you personally.
Oh, me personally? I mean, honestly, me personally, yeah, fuck everybody else. I'm going to do me. I am the black man in the room most of the time where there's no other black men in the room. So I always feel like I need to, yes, be the representative. But it's weird because I'm the alternative representative of what the common denominator is. You know what I'm saying? Like my brothers are my older brothers are the, you know, 6'3", get fly, stunt, Maybach, all that, right? I feel them.
Yeah.
But that's not me.
Okay.
Because I just think that I can do more with my time and my experience than just that. Yeah. Like, yes, I want a G-Wagon. I want a Maybach. I want to be able to pull up in New Balance and Old Navy and then pop out in the Maybach.
Yeah.
You feel me? That's the type of duality I want to live on.
Yeah.
I want the access to it, but I don't care to have it on me. Because for me, honestly, it's like a mark on my back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think that it's, like, it's good to present myself that way in the world. But then I just feel like even my own community be putting marks on people, like targets on people's backs because they're trying to keep up with that. So you're telling me, all right, bro, I got the BB belt pop and I got, you know, Gucci on my shoes, but now you're watching me and you're bothering me and you're trying to take advantage of me,
right?
You know, versus you're not trying to get money with me. You're trying to take my money. You feel me?
Yeah. Crabs and like, barrel mentality.
Yeah, it's a very crab and barrel mentality. So I feel like if I go against that, you know, for the most part, one, I'm saving money. I'm chilling. You feel me? I can do whatever I need to do.
Second friend. Yep.
But two, it's like I could still have options, you know, because I don't want to run up my whole bag. If I'm making 100%, I don't want to spend, I don't want to use 99% trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Right.
I'd rather use 25% of that and use my other 75% for whatever I need to do.
Right.
You feel me? But yeah, the pressure is there. Like, the pressure for sure is there. And I feel like, you know, just growing up in it, it's like, you have to kind of, like, it's not black and white, but you need to just, like, understand, like, where you feel like you stand in it. You feel me? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, like, it's what you make it, right? It's your story with it, right? I still want to be a fly nigga at the end of the day. Like, I'm a Harlem. I was born in Harlem. I'm a
don't
fly
say
nigga.
That like I'm not trying to be a fly nigga.
Bro.
What is this?
My brother right here is one of the flyest niggas I know, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Like, you still fly nigga, bro, forever. That's not what I'm saying.
What? Jake, well, listen, when Jake will say fuck all them other niggas, he meant you.
No.
He had the gun
for keeping that. I meant fuck the other niggas we was talking about.
He said, fuck him. Yeah. I'll fly.
Yeah. Well, I'll rock bands.
But like Kevin was saying, I want to be fly mentality first before being fly on the outside. You know, like at the end of the day, you can't put perfume on dog shit. You feel me?
Yeah, that's a fact. Okay. And a lot of people
stick of that.
100%. You can't put perfume on dog shit. we just had to repeat that.
Appreciate that.
Nah, but going off of that, like with that, that almost becomes people's personality.
Yeah.
It's like your personality is what you got on.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you.
Oh my God. It's true. Then they think they're hot shit. Sir. And I say sir just because they're approaching me.
It's always
me.
A man, bro.
There's man.
They're approaching me. But, you know, in regards to the guys that approach me and think that how, like, you know, what they're wearing speaks to, you know, me giving them access into my life.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't even look good. Mm. You can't even dress. Let's talk about that. So, yeah, you have, the mixed labels and all that stuff. I don't care. And take that scarf off under your hat. It looks stupid.
It looks stupid.
You know, the long Louis scarves they be having.
And then a
brim right on the top of their head, not fully on, just. Yeah. One little nod and it falls off. Don't approach me like that. I don't like it. But I wanted to add into something you mentioned about presentation, because I think, at least from my experience growing up in the Black community, presentation speaks volumes.
100%,
of course.
You know, we always have to work twice as hard to get, you know, one step further compared to our other counterparts. So I think part of why we as a community, you know, is so pushed to like stunt and look good is because we were raised on you have to look good. You have to present yourself in a good way, because now you have to show other people that you do have it. Yeah. You can't treat me like I don't have it. No, I do. So I think that's where the labels come in, because it's trying to fit in into groups that we originally weren't welcome into. And I think that was the way to get into those groups, that showing that you have that money. And how do you show you have money if you're not walking around with your bank account open? True. How you look.
Yeah.
And that's crazy as hell, because now, like you guys said, it's the opposite. How you look, more than likely, when you look like you got it, you don't. And when you don't look like you got it, you do.
Yeah.
And that doesn't go for everybody.
Of course.
But for the most part, we can see it very relevant, and at least in my community.
And it's true. I think with, like you said, the groups, right? Like, I think a lot of people, this is kind of like a common topic I read on Twitter and stuff, is like wealth versus rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, having labels, looking like a certain way, it don't matter what race you are. We know, they all know, rich versus wealth is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Very.
So I just feel like a lot of people want to look rich. Looking rich is like being fat, real life, right?
Yeah.
Like, rich is like butter, fat. That's all rich, like, right? But wealth is like health, wealth. Like, everything is good. Everything is balanced. And that's why you have wealth and everything spread apart.
I'm happy you brought it there, because I was like, where is he going?
That's my problem. I just, I'm like very scatterbrained with the analogies. But yeah, like, you're not fat shaming. We love everybody.
But I see what you're saying. Like, rich is for you. Rich is like for the individual. Wealth is like, wealth creates fruit. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wealth is for you and like everybody else below you, whether it be your family, your friends, what have you.
But don't get me wrong. One thing I love about Black people, no matter where we go, we show out.
Of course.
It's like, and I think I love that too. Like, if you're stunting just based on like, you know, designer, you can get out of here with that.
Yeah.
But I just noticed, like, even if you go to like certain events, like even traveling, when Black people travel, we travel, but we also look good.
Absolutely.
There's this like idea outside of the Black community. We're like, oh, you're traveling, so just put some shorts and some slippers on. No, I will hike this mountain, stand on top of this mountain, and take the cutest flick
in a matching suit.
Popping.
I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. I love that. I love the fact that we care so much about a presentation. I just wish it wouldn't, you know, be so overwhelming.
It wouldn't hinder us.
Yes, you know, like, and we wouldn't be bringing each other down. But, like, I just love seeing, like, you ever see a Black woman get up? Get ready and go out, and when she just out there, she's looking fire, amazing.
Beautiful.
Or when, like, you know, a Black man come and just get his fresh cut, you know, put on his nice fit,
sir.
He step on out. It's then, you know, you hang out with your non-Black counterparts, and you know, you just always look like you go into the Oscars while they go into the deli, and
yo,
it's
that's
just like
you,
it's just
that's actually the craziest thing, because I remember I was talking to my mom about this, like, about dating. for like, you know, like I be dating everybody, right? It don't really matter. But I told her, I was like, Ma, I realized low key, like, man, our standards for just regular shit is so high.
Yeah.
Like my mom always was just on point on what she did, like hair done, nails done, everything over time. And it's, she didn't do it because she was trying to impress other people. She just knew she had a standard for what she wanted for herself.
Yeah. Exactly.
These other people did. I'm like, yo, when the last time you went to the hair salon? You went 2 years ago? Oh, that's so weird to me. I go, I get a haircut expensive. Every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's expensive. It's expensive.
Honestly, I see that she can instill that in people because that's why you do it too. You want that to be something that's attributed to everything. Like, Kev, you're really clean. And I can tell it's because you were raised in that facet.
Feel me? Clean boy. Feel me?
You want to present the way you want your kids to outlook.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you get ready and you get done up just like she does. Like, mm-hmm. It's important to see that all the time.
Wow. Yeah. And that's like, that goes like, you know, kind of going with my mom. My mom always has her hair, her lashes, her nails always done. I've never not seen it. Like, it's embarrassing sometimes because I walk next to her like, oh my God. My mom is very big on presentation.
Mom's stunting on me.
All the time, bro. All the time.
Man, we're still in our training arcs. It's okay.
But, you know, like, I have this saying, thanks to my mom, is like, you know, I can't have two ailments. I can't be sad and look ugly. I have to look good.
That's a fire.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, like when I'm really sad, I dress really nice because I'm just like, yo, I gotta look at myself in the mirror and be like, life sucks, but you
at least you look good.
Right? Like, you don't have to look like your problem.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really big. Mm-hmm. Like, I shouldn't show the stress, you know, with my presentation. And so, presentation is very important and we kill it all the time. Mm-hmm. And not saying, you know, no one else outside of the Black race doesn't do it. Y'all do. So if y'all are listening and thinking like, my people do this too, that's not no one's coming for you. I'm just highlighting what I love about our community.
Oh man, we got in trouble with this one time when we said in our podcast, I think you were there in the episode, we said shout out to the Black anime community.
The rest
of the community took that so wrong. They were like, what about us, blah blah blah. Bro, we are all community.
One thing I really love about y'all show is that y'all really are very inclusive. Like, y'all
keep it at 9,000. Check it out.
If you haven't followed, subscribe.
Seriously, guys. But it's so relatable. Like, I love that I can hear myself in you guys. Like, I can see while y'all watching the anime, I can hear myself making the same commentary. So I'm like, wow, these guys are really the bros. Like, this is really something that I can feel. And so what? We're Black. That's our commonality. Yeah. It's okay. We still fuck with all the other races, but this is for us, you know?
And it's also the language, the breakdown. Like, one thing I can say is with you guys, it's, I don't have to pull up a bunch of definitions every time you guys speak.
Exactly.
Where, you know, or it's spoken in a facet where it's like, I get lost and I get bored and now I'm not paying attention. You know, you guys do it in just the way that's natural. Like, you know, y'all just talking to each other, just kicking it. You know how we just be chopping it up with our friends?
Yeah.
That's really what it gives. Exactly. And, you know, that's our culture and how we speak. So hearing that, you know, with anime, it's just like, yo, this shit is lit.
Yeah.
And I have other people, you know, who want to be guests on your podcast. You know, they're just like, this shit is so fire. I want them, hit our DMs. They're like, I want to talk. I want to join the conversation. And I'm like, you know, hit them up. Like, you know, they'll have you.
I don't say no to most people. So.
Most. Right. Now this person listens like, damn, I'm going to be there. So now when they get that no, now they know they're part of the 2% that gets the no's.
I don't believe in saying yes to everything. You know what I'm saying? Those people be lying. They say yes to everything. You lie. You say yes to one thing out of 10.
Right.
So I have a question for you guys. At what point in your life did you realize vulnerability mattered?
Day one. I've always been a Scorpio emo sad boy my whole life. I've never not been vulnerable. I think that I've always cried and spoke my mind.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, TLDR. That's just it.
I have a follow up question for that.
Imagine,
what's your relationship with your dad?
Oh, dude, that's my boy. Mm. What? I love my dad. Because the thing is, right, like, I mean, the most of the world don't know
that
notice.
Was a strong.
Most of the,
you made an analogy. You figured him out.
Something just plugged in for me.
So, most of the world don't notice. Like, I wasn't actually raised by my parents. Mm-hmm. I was raised by, like, my aunt and her husband.
Okay.
So, like, her husband is my pops.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not even his kid. And he showed me the world and gave me the world. So, that's my boy. Mm-hmm. Held him down for life. It don't even matter. You feel me? That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I learned how to convey my emotions from my mom. But, like, I learned how to show them to the world from my dad. Like, you know? Like, because there's one way to say it, but there's another thing to do it. You feel me?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I just plugged in just
Do you feel like it's been easier to connect with people and to feel understood because you've been naturally so vulnerable?
That's the thing. Most of the world doesn't know how to still connect with people. That's the thing. Like, you could put it all on a plate in broad daylight, like, all clear, hunky-dory. Some people still would go out there, not even go out their way. Some people just don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of, what's that word, empathy?
Empathy. Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of empathy in the world. And it's fine. I realize, like, you can't look for empathy. You can't look for sympathy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to go about your business either or. But there is a big lack of empathy in the world. So it's really hard to sometimes still communicate what you want to communicate with the world. Even though you put it out in broad daylight in English, right. 82 font, they still don't see it. Yeah.
What about you, Kev?
Ask the question again.
Vulnerability.
Right.
When did you find out it would be important to you?
To be like, damn, maybe I should be more open.
Honestly, not gonna lie to y'all, probably like 2-3 years ago.
Okay. I thought it was going to be 2 weeks ago.
Yes, no.
That's fine. That's fine.
Super recently. I was actually talking to my roommate a while ago, where I was just like, yo, I just realized to myself that being called sensitive isn't an insult. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to take it as an insult where people are like, yeah, he's just sensitive. I thought it was just like people calling you like soft.
Yeah. Right.
Like a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And for me, like, I have a different situation with like my dad than Jaquel does, where like my dad, I grew up with my birth father, but old, just like stereotypical African male, where they're always working and their idea of like love is being there to like support you financially. Right. But as far as everything else, they're not having it. And so for me, like, I had to like, I spent a lot of time just having to figure out like my emotions and being able to communicate it to others on my own. Like, right. I had just learned that with you know, some a little bit of assistance from, you know, some medicinal if you catch my drift, which it helped a lot, just because like I like thinking in a different direction, and being able to like have certain experiences helped me realize like, hey, being somebody who is vulnerable isn't like a sign of weakness. There, it is a thing that could be strength. Obviously, like, you don't want to be in a situation just crying for no reason just because it's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday.
That's a fact. That's a whole fact.
Yeah.
But being able to like know what you're feeling and process your emotions, I think, is super important. And more times than not, like, the average person doesn't know how to do so because they haven't either been taught to do so, or they haven't had the opportunity to figure it out for themselves. And being a person who's had to figure it out for themselves, it took literal decades for me to get there.
Absolutely. Right. Because you didn't have that.
Yeah.
Right. Always seeing it around you. I could see that.
100%. Yeah.
One thing I've come up with this theory that I would say specifically, and I'll just say specifically Black men, because, you know, you check all the boxes in the room. I've noticed that, you know, men tend to view emotions as they do colors. Mm. Very, you know, Roy G. Biv it. And I think I've mentioned this before, where it's, you know, pink is pink. If I bring coral, periwinkle, and another, you know, shade of pink to you guys, and I ask it's you pink. What color, it's pink.
It's dark pink. That's light pink. And that's medium pink.
Right. Light, hot, and dark. Yeah. Whatever, you know. And with a lot of emotions, it's either I'm upset, or I'm happy, or I'm calm. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, looking into the spectrum of what those emotions are. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, is this anger or is this frustration? Because there's a difference. And I think, like, a lot of times you guys were taught the basic emotions. Mm. And so now you have all these, you know, congested feelings and thoughts, and you don't know how to express it because you weren't taught the full spectrum of emotions. And so now you're just like, yeah, I'm upset, but I don't know why, or, like, I don't know how to get into it because you didn't know it was there. Versus, you know, for women, we were taught about periwinkles. We were taught about the corals. We were taught about the different shades. We were taught about, you know, the lavenders and everything, where we're better able to kind of tap into our emotions. And I don't think it's fair, because at the end of the day, like, your gender doesn't matter when it comes to emotions. We all feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my little theory I've been using.
Ah, that's an interesting theory. And I think it's important, because especially now, I feel like much more emotionally mature than I have been eons ago. Like, there's times where I'm feeling something and I'm able to, like, not even react to the thing that I'm feeling. Like, say if I'm having a conversation with you, well, we had this moment a couple months ago. Oh, yeah. And we got in a conversation, and like, the old me would have been like, all right, I gotta just bang my point every step of the way through. But I was like, no, tell them what's on your mind. Let them know what you're feeling. Let them know how you, like, viewed everything that's been going on in these specific moments. And then, like, also be willing to, like, let him express how he feels, but also like just be able to pause a moment. I think a lot of people don't realize that you can just do that within a conversation.
Of course.
Where if you're talking, especially when things get heated, you don't have to just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Sometimes you have to be like, yo, pause. Do you feel this way? Is this what you're thinking?
Check-ins.
And then if you get that from them, you're like, oh, now I know how to actively and efficiently communicate what exactly I was feeling to let them know like, yo, this wasn't the type of time I was on. I was on this time, but it may have been misconstrued based off of how we were communicating or not communicating.
Right.
That's a fact.
So what you're saying is y'all be arguing.
100%. Like, bro, we've been arguing since day one. Decades. Hey, buddy, nigga, why'd you draw it that way, bro? You wrong. Why you doing that?
But you know what? I can say I'm jealous of, like, more men's relationships because you guys have that raw energy with each other where it doesn't get taken as personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're with more female relationships. We got to go back and talk about it. Like, no, I'm with you. Like, I just want to argue about it, and then we move about, you know, because we know this is what it was about. I think a lot of the times when you have all the, like, hidden feelings, the stuff that's in the back we didn't speak on. Yeah, I don't have time.
I mean, that happens with us, too. Like, it happens with everybody.
So now let me ask. What's up? Do you have any feelings for Jaquell that you have not addressed?
Let me know, bro.
Unresolved feelings?
Bring it to the table.
I think we got that out. Weeks ago.
I'm gonna just tell y'all it was like 3.5 hours.
It was like 3.5 argument.
With a mediator in the middle.
With a mediator in the middle.
I love that too.
Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? But I was like, all right, cool. We're having this conversation. But I don't know. It's interesting. It was a good conversation to be had because we both didn't realize the point that we didn't realize, like, the standpoint that we were each coming from. And then that conversation actually made that happen.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I can say I've only experienced that for once with a friend. And I call Ash all the time and be like, Ash, my girlfriend and I just broke up. She's not really my girlfriend, but we have arguments and conversations as if we do. And I've never had a relationship that I've had to sit and talk to like that outside of an intimate relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I sit there and I'm just like, oh, my God, I feel like we're together. Because the way we just spoke... We sat with each other, and it was the yelling. It was the figuring it out. It was kind of like you said, the 3.5 hours, but with no mediator. There'd be times we in the gym working out together, arguing like a couple, and I'm just like, what is going on? I'm not even getting dick after this. Like, I'm just, like, what is happening? I really be calling Ash, and I'm just like, oh, it happened again. We had another moment. But, you know, I appreciate it because one thing about that relationship is we do have the space to get that out there because my friend, she's very big on we don't have any built-up, pent-up emotions. Yeah. If you feel a way about something, you got to let me know.
Yeah.
We'll argue and talk it through as long as we both decide to keep talking and communicating. Mm-hmm. And then we move past it.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I can really say I've learned and I've really appreciated from that friendship. So hearing you guys say that, that's amazing. I would like to do that more often.
Yeah.
100%.
This is good.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, when it comes to that, right, like, sometimes there's things where, like, say, for example, our previous situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Kev. He's my brother, right?
Mm-hmm. But
so... I felt like our situation, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that, like, a lot of what it came from was like, all right, cool. If this was just some shit where it's just me and him on some one-to-one shit, I would have told this nigga about that shit like a hundred years ago.
Mm.
But I was like, you know what? Like, all right, maybe I should, like, you know, retract a little bit because, like, you know, like, it's for the common good of what we both want.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's like I guess it's like a relationship.
Yeah.
It's like do I tell my wife that I don't like her shoes?
Yes, this is what I'm
you know what I'm saying? Like I love her though, but do I tell her that? Like is it that important in the grand scheme of things? But then I just don't think that if you just don't say what you want to say, or of course like you need to say it in a productive forward facing way. But if you don't get that out, then it might be holding back you guys from doing even better things and more things because you just have that there. You feel me?
Yeah. We've been programmed to feel like we only have those difficult conversations in relationships.
Yeah.
But it's important in all relationships because my friendship is still as important as my intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like being able to do that is not only good for your relationship, but for yourself because now you're not walking around with this thing weighing on your chest. And I know I've suffered from holding back certain thoughts and now it's eating me. Now I resent you. You don't even know.
Exactly.
I'm kikiing, and that makes me fake because I'm kikiing, and I'm here holding resentment about something you did 10 years ago because I was too scared to talk about my feelings. And now, here, like, it just doesn't make sense. Now I'm not being authentic with you in the relationship. So
that's not a friendship.
Yeah.
A lot of it
stems moving forward, I'm trying to work on that.
Gotcha. A lot of that like stems from just people being afraid of conflict.
Yeah.
And
that's me. I'm people.
And being afraid of conflict, I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think to remediate a conflict, there's multiple different styles to take care of it. Yeah. Like a lot of people do the avoidance thing, which is a style that you can use to remediate a conflict, mm-hmm. but it doesn't work for every situation. Yeah. You feel me?
Right.
Like if you're at the grocery store and somebody hits you with their grocery cart by accident and then you just black on them, that's a bad situation. That's a situation where you want to avoid the conflict because it's not necessary for that situation. But if it's a situation with your best friend where you've been feeling something about what they've been doing for like weeks or months or years, that's not something you want to keep avoiding.
Right.
Yeah.
But and then like the other conflict resolution styles of actually like talking directly to a person right after they did something.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's not the appropriate time. Maybe you may have to wait a week or two. Maybe you may have to wait a day or two. Or like just there's so many different like ways to fix a conflict. But I think people kind of just get stuck in one style and don't realize that there's multiple styles that you could apply to different scenarios.
Of course. Yeah. Like there's a lot of different ways to effectively communicate something. Right. And it's true. Like I think that sometimes like the type of person that I am. Like always in my life, if it happens on the spot, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I'm very reactionary, but I had to learn to not become reactionary because like it honestly adds extra pressure to things that don't actually, you know what I'm saying? Like if you had that friend who's always like, yo, bro, you acting like that again? You on that again? Like all the time? You gonna hate that again? You know what I'm saying?
Like, bullshit.
It's like, this is just me.
At this point.
You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, like I think that sometimes, like, actually to be effective, like in a sense, if you're someone who is reactionary, right? Maybe sit back. Maybe don't blow up. Yeah. Think about it for a second. Don't send that email before 24 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then like, even then, before you even approach the scenario, the situation, maybe take some time to reflect upon why that other person may be feeling that way. And when you do tell them about it, don't even tell them from the point of view that, like, you know, like, you're wrong or like,
no,
you're
this. Statements, I statements.
Yeah, I statements, take charge, and also leave a point where you can, like, you still need to get their opinion on it, because if you don't, it's like you just walked in. You're like, you hit a note with a truck. Y'all know Isekai in anime. That truck couldn't come and just send you to the Rex world.
Yeah.
Niggas don't want to get hit with trucks, bro.
Yeah.
You know, let's meet on the bridge and shake hands and communicate on it. You feel me? Because they have an opinion, they have a stance. And maybe if you hear her stance, maybe it wouldn't have ticked you off so much. Right. Maybe you would have realized, wow, we're all human, you know, deadass. Like, what the fuck are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it don't work for everything.
Sounds like you've been reading my therapy.
Y'all honestly are very healed. I would like to say not a lot of men think
work in progress.
Healing.
Yeah, work in progress.
You guys are doing really good. Yeah. Absolutely. And honestly, that just goes to all of us. We're all a work in progress, but you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
I'm trying. We're just trying, man.
So Ash and I love to do something called unpopular opinions.
Ooh.
But don't worry, we're not going to throw you on the spot just yet.
Okay.
We're going to share our unpopular opinions, and if you have any, you can throw yours out.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You sure can. I did not bring one here today.
Mine is very silly, very lightweight, but my unpopular opinions is stop showing me your damn pictures of your baby and your pets.
Oh.
I don't care for them, especially in the workplace. I don't care, Cindy. Okay, your dog has a bow tie. That's cute. I don't care. You know, unless I know the baby or the pet personally, I don't care. Like, it's the same picture. It's the same face. Your dog is not smiling. Okay, it was like, I just don't care, and I just feel like,
it's just a
you know, everybody comes around. Oh my god! And then they try to show it to me. And one thing I can't do is fake emotions. Okay. So now I'm there like, look at the dog again.
Yeah.
Okay.
The face shows everything.
Yeah. And so it's like, don't put me in a position where like, come on, guys. Like, I don't like it. I really don't like it. Do you guys agree?
Oh yeah, dude. So I work in a workplace where majority of my coworkers have kids. I'm one of three men on the team, and a team of 15. And it's always just look at my child, this look at my dad, look. I'm just like, yo, like I mean, yeah, that's good for them, but like, I'm curious. You don't want to hear about my. You don't want to hear about my anime podcast. Look at my podcast. We got 1,600 on Instagram. What you talking about?
You went viral. No, but that's so true. There's like this thing in the workplace where it's like, if you have a dog or, well, a pet or a child, like, you have some type of seniority in terms of the conversation or in terms of even time off. I don't care that your kid has X, Y, and Z. I requested my time off before you. Yeah. You should have done it like everybody else. I will take my time off. Please and thank you, but do not show me your ugly kids. And the kids are ugly, but it just, it's annoying. It's I don't care. And I'll stop trying to force me to fake emotions. That's another unpopular opinion. Since you guys have none, I'll keep going.
Who said we didn't have
she
it?
She even gave us a chance. I'll just keep it going. Y'all could go. Y'all could go.
Do that one, because I have something for that one. I like that one.
Which one?
The one you just said.
Fake
with
emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I hate having to do these fake societal reactions for stuff that don't matter to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, everybody's like, oh my God, my condolences. Okay.
Damn, bro. You people can't die anymore.
No, people can, but I just feel like we're just so set up where we all have to feel the same emotions and express it the same way. Mm-hmm. No. I'm not an expressive person. I will think it's sad. I will say, oh, that's sad. And that's that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm not sad, but I'm not about to sit here and boohoo with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's and so, like, yeah, in the workplace culture, even in friendship groups, and, you know, everybody's kikiing or everybody's feeling this one emotion and now we got to sit in it. No, keep me out of that.
That's a fact, man.
Yeah. For me, it's the how are you and everybody's just expecting that I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry. One day I'm not going to be good. And I'm going to say that. I was actually quite
I had a
frankly,
breakdown 5 minutes before, but, you know.
Like, I'm tired. Here. I'm actually really tired. I'm exhausted, as a matter of fact. Like,
yeah.
I want to be able to say what I actually feel without that, ooh, that yikes at the back of it. Like, society really forces you to think and feel one way. Like, it's okay to not be okay.
You're going to say it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we should be able to express how we actually are feeling. Like, I'm telling you, one time it slipped out. I was at a big public, like center group thing, and everyone was like, hey, how are you? They didn't give a fuck. But it's something that you say. Like, hey, how are you? What's going on? And I actually said, oh, I'm not doing too well. They were just like, oh, what's the follow-up? They were like, fucking, like, something didn't compute in their brain or something. Like,
they're like, damn, I got to listen more.
This is not planned.
I'm not doing too well, but thank you. Thank you for asking. All right, be about your day. Thank you. You know, like, it's okay. I want everybody to start getting with that mindset of, it's okay to not be okay. Like, that's my unpopular opinion. If you asking me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell you honestly.
Period.
That's true.
What about you
guys? I actually just thought of one that came up. So I think, I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion. This could be a popular opinion. But, like, I think that it's okay to outgrow groups of people and, like, a lot of things you do in life. Like, say, for example.
Without it being a problem.
Like, if I'm a photographer, right? I love photography. Mm-hmm. But I'm straddling a line where I'm like, I think I love the idea of running a production business. I don't want to hold the camera. But why do I need to label myself as a photographer, or why do I need to label myself as hanging with these people all the time when I'm trying to, like, change? I think that a lot of people like to hold on to things and people and groups and things because it's expected or it's going to hurt their collective feelings if you don't be a part of that. But I'm just like, bro, like, at the end of the day, the way I kind of see it right now is like, yo, like, you only have, like, say, for example, 100% energy, right?
Right.
You can't give 99% of your energy to things that you dead ass do not care about anymore or things that you don't see adding value to your life or other people around you too. You feel me? So it's like, you're stuck on this. You're going to be in your gang for the next 30 years of your life because you just gang. Yep. No, I'm dropping, bro. Take my flag. I don't need to throw this up no more. Take that. You feel me? Okay. I'm good. I'm a change up. I'm put a suit on and then I'm gonna not like it and go back to the gang life. You feel me? But it doesn't
have my flag back.
Like, a lot of decisions to move forward, like, I think that, I don't know, it's just, why does everybody expect people to just hold on to baggage?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be free. I'm trying to live my life and literally just not be tied down to shit.
Listen, man, I talk about that all the time.
No, I feel that. This is, like, all-encompassing, I guess, on all your points. I feel like, and I was talking to you, Jacob, about this earlier today, where we're all forced to, like, fit the same mold. And if you're anything outside of that, then you're, like, the negative. You're, not normal.
Sheep, yeah.
The black sheep, exactly. Where, for example, I noticed recently that it seems like people are losing their accents. Like, I'm meeting people from Texas who don't sound like they're from Texas. You know what I mean? Like, have you met people like that where you're figuring out, like, yo, you're from Ohio, but you sound like you're from New York? Like, where is this coming from?
Facts.
This
is not giving Ohio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, and it's so weird because, and I think the internet has a big part to do with this.
Yeah.
As well as just, like, television, movies, and whatnot. We're hearing, like, a specific accent just be the most popular. And so not everybody's sounding like that. And I think that's such a bad thing. I think it's dope and beautiful that people sound different, that people come from different places, people have their own unique cultures. Yeah. Like, I recently went to...
Where's the originality?
Exactly. Like, I went to New Orleans recently, like a couple months ago for New Year's.
Oh, really? I can't tell.
I got the New Orleans hat on. Yeah,
that's where you got that.
Yeah, every time I travel, whatever airport that I go to, I'll buy a hat just to, like, as a reminder that I've been there.
That makes sense.
I'm a hat collector. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, like, we've been pushed so far to be like, oh, the overall collective feels this way about this specific thing, so you should talk like this. If you if you say anything that sounds too different, like, sometimes I say things that sound goofy, and I started saying it because it sounds goofy, but now it's a part of my vernacular. You know what I mean?
But see, when I was telling you, I want to go right and everybody goes left. That's why.
That's why. It's like, I like being different. I like having little things about me that people will hear and be like, oh, that's Kevin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, one of the things I say to friends, they'll be like, yo, let's do this. And I'd be like, all right, bet, dope on a rope. And people be like, what are you saying? I'm like, that's just, I don't know.
I just feel that.
Oh my God.
It's just like, I want to be different, but I also want to be, it's so hard to be different and accepted at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, people be like, yo, how you doing? I just go, I'm vibing and thriving. How are you?
Nice.
Like, it's just, nice. I like the idea of being a person that's just not like, cut like the rest of the community, but also not being just an automatic outcast because of that. Because the people I befriend myself with, like, if y'all met Jaquel, you've met a ton of my friends.
Yeah.
None of them are like me.
Jaquel, not your friend.
My other friend, Jaquel's one of my best friends. But Jaquel's met like
I met his regular friend this month. They cool. They're not me though. But they not me though. They cool though.
But you've met my other friends. None of them are like me. Like, I don't really surround myself with people that are exactly like me, because one, that'd be exhausting. I'm a lot to deal with, so I don't want that kickback on me.
Imagine 10 Kevins in a room. God damn.
That'd be a lot. Like, damn, they all want the attention all the time. Shit. But I don't know. I feel like, kind of encompassing what everybody else is saying, it's like, it's okay to be different, and you should be different, because like, if you're not, then you can't innovate. You can't make anything new if everything's the same.
Exactly. That's true.
But I like the natural different. I don't want you to do things because it's not all the time. Mm. You know, like, at this point.
You just said if everybody's going left, you're going to go right.
Right,
like,
right.
That sounds natural to me.
You know what? Because naturally, I'm stubborn. Naturally,
No, I feel you. I'm the same way.
But you ever met somebody that shit on everybody else? Well, that's basic. Or you might say that's basic. Okay, it's a reason it's
hater.
Basic.
Yeah. It's just a hater.
Yeah.
Just...
Well, so those are what I'm talking about.
It's okay to like things. Like, yeah.
Like, it's okay that you like something that the mass likes, because it's a reason why it's basic, because a lot of people, it's good, you know?
Yeah.
However, you do meet people who naturally tend to stray right instead of left.
Yeah.
And I like that. Like, you know, kind of like you said, you know, dope on a rope, that's just fun.
Yeah.
Okay. But now, if you just hear trying to shit on everybody for saying LOL, then it's just like, now I'm kicking you out of the chat.
That's
now I'm kicking you out.
I see what you're saying.
It's true.
Yeah, no, facts. Like, do what you want to do, but also let me do what I want to do. It's not hurting you. Exactly. You don't got to say it.
Yeah, no, it's
you don't
got
to do it. That's a fact.
Oh, guys, I have one more unpopular opinion.
Hit us.
Okay. And it goes back to LOL. I'm not putting LOL. I'm not using it. And Ash comes on me because I don't like using emojis when I text.
Nah.
Because I don't mean it.
Nah, guys.
So I'm not going to put it.
That is a sociopath. Don't let her try to sugarcoat it.
I hate when people put LOL to soften the sentence. I don't care. That's how I feel.
You should break up with your boyfriend. LOL.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just put it.
Don't use it like that. No, but you won't use emojis for anything. Whether you happy, sad, nothing. You don't know what the fuck is this. You know how she receives nothing. Belly will not tell you how she's feeling based off of her text. You would think that you're texting like your boss or something.
Yeah.
It's like a LOL. Yeah, I'm like, hey, smiley face, hugs.
Yo,
how are you?
The men you date must be like, yo, what is going on? You trying to come over? Okay, period.
You don't even send the eyes.
Because when I get upset, I speak very well. I'm grammatically correct.
Yeah.
I'm using all
punctuation.
Punctuations, everything.
Period.
everything when I get upset. So yeah, when you could tell when I'm upset. But I, you know what? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to fake the funk. I don't feel like this emoji. This emoji does not represent me. Yeah. I'm not smiling that much.
But there's like 100 in the thing. So there's not one that works for you.
I use them when they apply, but very rarely do they. I don't like putting the LOLs. I hate putting the LMAOs for no reason. I'm not laughing, especially not out loud. So why do I have to fake it?
So what's your top 5 emojis?
Let me find out right now.
Oh my god,
it's on your phone. It's just blank.
That's why I'm typing on her phone. I'm like, this? You don't use this one. Okay.
My top 5 emojis. Okay, hold on. Okay, look. Okay, is it down this way? It's the green check because I was checking off some boxes.
Okay.
You know, the green check.
Okay.
The pink heart because I think I was telling somebody happy birthday.
Yeah. Okay.
The red heart and, like, you know, hearts and then the crying emoji.
Damn.
I don't use them often, though. Like, let me show you.
I'm shocked. That
so scary.
I'm shocked that there was that much.
This is my conversation with Ash, not to get y'all in our business, mm-hmm. but look how I do not send emojis. There's no emojis.
For me, it's
there's
scary.
No emojis.
Wait, what's that say? Girl, he had a...
a big dick.
Dick pic.
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, I don't like faking the LOLs of the text messages. I'm not, I feel like it's just used to soften a conversation and I get it.
Yeah, it does.
But
yeah.
I don't mean it.
No, I'm taking it that you don't like just faking things in general. Like, you don't want to look at a person's dog if you're not into their dog and be like, yo, I love this
Keep
dog.
It real.
You want to look at the person's baby and then like, no, I'm a very similar way. Like, I'm not a big fan of animals just in general. Like, I have no hatred towards them, but I never looked at an animal and been like, oh, like, you know that, like are you into animals?
Yeah.
So if you see, if I show you a cute dog, how would you react?
Oh my god!
Yeah, I don't know what that feeling is.
Okay.
I've never, whatever that feeling is, I've never felt it for an animal.
Do you think it's because of your upbringing? Like,
no, like my siblings like animals. My sister has a dog. My little brother has had dogs. I think my older brother has a dog too.
Yeah.
For me, it's just like it might be. Maybe I just processed it a different way.
Yeah.
But I feel like where we grew up, dogs were either like shitting on the ground or like rigorously barking at you and like I don't associate it with fear, but I'm just like uninterested by them.
Yeah.
And so if somebody shows me a picture of a dog, I'd be like, I can see that it's a cute dog, but my heart doesn't melt for it.
I'm not about to be like, oh my god, look at the little puppy.
Mm-hmm. I'd be like,
cool. I'll be like, oh, that's cute, like that's a cute dog. Or like, oh my god, the baby's so cute. They want all the extra. They want
that.
I'm dying. I
want to eat their little toes.
Yes. Like, I don't have that. I don't care about your baby. I don't care about your baby's first steps. Again, unless I know the person.
I mean, you might be a little bit of a sociopath. Babies are cute.
No, they're cute.
Babies are cute. But dogs are.
It's the constant. It's the update. I don't care. Like, I have to have an emotional connection.
It's the baby talk to animals for me. I'm just like, these niggas don't even understand you, bro.
Animals. These dogs are actual babies now. Like you have dog moms, dog dads. You have the dog strollers.
But it's a lot of work. I see why.
Because dogs aren't just as expensive as babies now. They're health insurance. Insurance.
I'd rather have a kid. At least I get a return on investment.
Bro, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe I'll get a return on investment.
That's what I'm saying. I can't imagine cleaning something shit for the rest of its life, bro. Yeah. That is wild. And it won't do the same for me?
Never.
It will not. It wouldn't even put you in a nursing home, though.
Never.
Bro. That's a fact. I remember I grew up with a lot of pets. And I remember I knew for a fact my pet did not give a fuck about me. One time I was mad upset. And then my cat walks up to me. I'm crying. She looks at me. I thought she was going to sit in my lap and cuddle me. Just walked away.
Cats.
She just walked away.
I love cats.
You can't expect that kind of behavior from a cat. A cat is not. Yeah, it's not for that.
I love cats, but even with loving cats, you can show me a picture and I'll be like, "It's cute." You still won't get all of that out of me. But yeah, no, I just think we shouldn't be forced to feel things or act like we feel things.
Yeah, true.
Just let us just be. Gosh.
Facts.
For us mini psychopaths of the world, clearly. Okay, so as we come to wrapping it up, I want. Any outrageous, any outlandish, anything that you've thought about recently, something that grinds your gears? If it pops up, let me know. Ash, do you have anything that grinds your gears this week? What's the past tense of grind? Ground?
Ground? Yeah, ground your gears.
Did it ground your gear? That sounds so stupid.
Grinded.
No, yeah, it's not. Grinded.
So I feel like stuff happens to me every day that grinds my gears. So it's hard to pinpoint one specific thing.
I got one.
Yeah, if you don't, I got one. Yeah.
The call me people. Why would you text me and call me?
Oh,
Just call me.
Yeah.
Now I've got to call you. You want to talk to me.
They don't
want to
face rejection, yeah.
But you want to talk to me.
Yeah.
You said to call me. So you call me. Like, why would you take the time to text me, call me, just do it.
Okay.
And if I answer, I do. And if I don't, I don't.
Yeah.
But not you telling me to call you. No.
Via text.
I didn't want to talk.
I think I know what you're going to say.
I got a defense for this.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Call me. So when it's at your convenience, you could call me. So I'm not
exactly.
Like, I'm not calling you and you like, oh, fuck you. I was taking a shit. Like,
yeah.
I would have answered.
Or what if you're like, you're with the other man and then like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What if I'm like, yo, you should call me, but then like.
Right. I mean, shit, I might pick up the phone for Kev like, yo, bro, my bad. I'm in the middle of something. Let me get back to you real quick.
You know what it is? Then say, you know, hey, when you're free, give me a call. I just don't like to call me. It's demanding.
It's
don't
very...
you dare demand me to call you. No, I don't want to talk.
I feel you.
I really be
that,
thinking about that. Like, no, I don't want to call you, actually.
Nah,
I don't want to talk to you.
Or it's like when people say, like, yo, like, send me the request, nigga. I'll send that shit. What the fuck you mean send me the request?
It's insane. Like, why don't you request it?
Exactly. Like, does it break your heart to open your app and send how much I owe you?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, if they don't know how much they owe you.
No, they be knowing.
but they be knowing.
Jaquan, we went out last night. I don't know how much I owe you.
Oh.
Send me the request.
Oh. That's a little different. I be forgetting to send niggas requests sometimes, bro. Bro, bro, we got barbecue a month ago. I was thinking about that. I was like, damn, did I not request these niggas, bro.
That's
oh,
crazy.
Man. It's bad. It'd be like that, but that's just a different thing.
What about yours?
Things that grind my gears. This is very recently. I understand that marijuana is legal in New York City. I also partake in marijuana.
Okay.
It's fun. I like thinking in different directions. But if you're on the fucking train, there should be no reason you're hotboxing. That is insane to me.
How do you hotbox on a train? In the train.
In the train. The amount of times, at least three times within 2023, I've walked onto a train car and seen people smoking. In the train car.
No, y'all.
That's wild.
Y'all
you can wait until you're on the street.
I got asthma. I got respiratory
issues. And at the end of the day,
you know?
Yeah, not a hot box. A hot box is very personal.
That's
you don't bring me into your
box.
Personal space.
Bruh.
That's a forced hot
and then it's already musty.
Which
that
is like
musty ass.
Fucked up. Like there's
box.
Children here. There's literal women with like babies on strollers.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You're like lighting up on a train. Like that's
yeah,
fucked up.
That's OD.
So yeah, that's
is
been grinding
really
my gears.
That bad that you got a hot box.
Apparently you can't wait.
No, that's crazy.
You got three stops.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like life is not gonna get better.
100%.
So just wait till you get out.
You on the D train. It goes express from 59th to 125th.
You almost there.
Like,
almost
you right there.
Man, I just had to smoke that backwards. Just talking, bro. Like, yo, you trying to hit this too?
That shit is crazy.
I
like
put some grub on that shit. A little spicy. What you talking about?
Also, New York is handling the legalization of marijuana terribly. But that's a different conversation.
Another rant. Absolutely. This was so amazing. Thank you guys so much for coming onto our podcast.
Of course. Thanks for having
definitely
us.
Definitely have to do this again because
yeah.
The energy here, I see why you guys decided to join a podcast. You know,
yeah.
Like, it was just great energy. It works.
And guys, their podcast is weekly. You can catch it
yes.
Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. Yeah. Keep it at 9,000. You can find it on every platform. Belly and Ash was just on our last episode, episode 111. So
Ooh.
Make sure y'all check that out.
Content still dropping to this
content
day.
Still
I just dropped
dropping.
A video earlier.
I'll be on your page all week like, is this my part? I saw that you posted a video that had nothing to do with our episode, and I was like, get this shit out of here.
Yeah.
I literally just stopped mid-video. I don't want to see this.
Because 110 was good, too.
Right. I mean,
love that y'all number. Y'all making us see where y'all at. Like, y'all number
mm-hmm.
the episodes. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, 110? That's crazy.
It fits with the anime, because now you know we're episode 110.
Actually, you're right.
Yeah,
that's true.
It works. It really works.
Oh,
y'all didn't even think about that, but
yeah,
now.
I'm glad y'all. I appreciate that because I'm just like systematic where I'm like, bro, if I don't put the number there, I'm gonna forget what
yeah.
we talked about when we did that, bro.
Right. No, but that's awesome. Again, thank you so much, guys. Do you guys have any final comment statements? Anything that you want to say? Anything you want to get off your chest? Just, you know, just quick little.
Yeah, I had this little thing at work. I mean, I hate everybody at work. I'm not a 9-to-5 person. I am 100% do not lock me down in 9-to-5. I just do it because I got to make money.
Yes, sir.
Right? I'm selling my soul for this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my coworkers, I swear to God, these niggas be so miserable. And they just be expecting me to feel their misery. Like, they be telling me, all their misery, from what I can see, aligns with their life decisions.
Yeah. Mm.
And they be like, Jay, you gonna feel that one day. No, the fuck I'm not.
Don't project
on me.
You
know? I'm chilling, bro. I'm literally, you say you're going left and right. I'm going far out of the other way. I'm in Miami. You in New York right now. Like, you know, do not project on me. And it's like, there's one coworker. Let's call her K, right? Okay. She just be hating from the sidelines every day for her miserable ass. And I just don't understand, like, how can... I know misery loves company, yeah. But can misery love to just... like bring down other people beyond the company, like you projecting beyond the company, you going to like across the street to the new building, like that's crazy. Yep. That's yeah. a crazy feeling.
That's what misery. That's how
I hate you, K. That's right? All I'm saying.
If you're listening to this, no, he hates you.
Why it had to be K though? That's the weird thing. Hey, he looked right at me. He was like, "I hate you, K." No, so like, yeah. Jacoba's throwing shots at me left and right.
It's because her name is.
I hope you don't have mics on
that. You went from your mic to her mic.
We heard that shit loud and clear.
Right, it's okay. Let's just bloop that.
I'm not gonna lie. When, you know when like people do be trying to disguise shit like in conversation? Yeah. I cannot do that, bro.
Yeah.
I remember like I was telling a story one time. I said the person's whole name, address, government, date of birth. It is what it is, though.
I'll have to just censor you. Like,
yeah, beep.
That lives at beep, beep street. Beep. She drives the beep.
That's a fact. But I do have another comment to make.
Go ahead.
I love what you guys are doing here. Yeah. I love the constant pursuit of pursuing your dreams and doing what you want.
Aww.
Because at the end of the day, like, I remember when you were starting this from episode one. I remember when you told me I got a podcast. I was like, oh, that's kind of fire. Let me check in. And I listened to all your episodes. Like, I'm happy to be on the podcast.
Yes.
Said, I'm on the Big Dream Small Pockets podcast. What are you talking about? You told me that's fire. Yeah. So kudos thank to y'all. You. Like really, thank truly.
You. We appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. No,
it took us a while to get here, but we're happy we're here.
Yes.
That's what it is. Like, you just got to start somewhere. I think a lot of people get really overwhelmed. Like, I've had so many people be like, oh, I want to do my own podcast. I want to do my own podcast. What's your advice? Literally just start.
Yeah.
Like, once you start, you'll know what you're strong at, you'll know what you're weak at, and you'll know what to fix.
Gotcha.
But if you're just thinking about it, like, thinking will help you a lot. We did a lot of brainstorming, but nothing helped us more than actually going through the process of going
right.
through it. So, yeah, no, definitely kudos to y'all, because y'all been doing this for years, and it shows. Like, you guys are experienced. The questions were great. The conversation was great.
Look at us. Yeah. We did that.
Nah, it was... Yeah, you even got me and Jay to talk about arguments that we had. Obviously, we didn't go into depth, but...
They'll like, revisit when we leave. So what did you mean when you said...
When you say you people.
Jay, I got to talk to you about something.
Yo, Jay, so you're going to tell them I punch you in the face? Don't bring that in the conversation. Just kidding.
100%. But like, yeah, no, this is dope. You guys are great hosts, and this was a good-ass time.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As always, like, comment, follow, subscribe. If you have any questions, comments, or any ideas for any episodes or any guests, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, mm-hmm. hit us up. DM us. If you know us personally, just message us. You know, we might say yes. We're not like Jay. We say yes more than no. 99%. Actually, no, you're right. We say no here. We don't say no.
We ain't never say no to
nobody. We don't say no.
To be honest.
we don't up. Say no, right? But yes, thank you so much, guys. And we will see you in the next episode.
Yep.
Bye.
Peace. And we only say no because... We film our podcast at my apartment. Gotta trust you to be there. Gotta trust you to be there.
Bye.
Bye.